If you focus and get too obsessed with the outcomes, your mental health starts to spiral significantly. Yeah, because you're attaching your self-worth to the outcomes of what your venture is, which is very easy to do when you're an entrepreneur, solopreneur in that space. Yeah. So learning that, that's been an absolute gift that someone has shared to me. I exercise that every day.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I am very, very excited to bring a great friend who has been on a similar trajectory of building their brand, building their media, launching a podcast, YouTube, doing great stuff. So the episode we're going to have today is going to be extremely conversational, but extremely purposeful around what are the things that you go through when you go out there and put yourself into the public space, building your media, trying to grow a business, and standing out where there's so much noise in the world. How do you make sure that people discover you? What are some of the lessons? What are some of the failures? And what you can take away from this journey that I've been able to go through and seen my friend take some steps ahead of me in some areas. And you're going to see this back and forth. And Amrit Sandhu is with me. He's an international speaker, purpose coach, the founder of the Inspired Evolution podcast. The man has taken the stage on Mindvalley. The man has spoken around the world in US, Europe, Asia, everywhere. And he has his podcast and his YouTube channel around Inspired Evolution. He interviews thought leaders from around the world. He truly is someone that's trying to get people to live their best life, and he is living his best life in the process as well. It's such a pleasure to have him on the show. Amrit, welcome.
Oh, brother, thank you so much for having me. It is such a treat and a pleasure to be here with you, seriously. And yeah, we've had you on the podcast as well, some really incredible episodes over there. And yeah, man, just really, really honored to be here with you today. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm a silent cheerleader. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of people in the world that are like silent cheerleader. And I want you to know I'm one of them for you, because I was there. Like, I got on your show. I think you were maybe at the early stages. I'm seeing your growth. I'm seeing the posts you make. And I'm like, hell yeah. Like, this guy's doing the work. I know how much it takes to go through this, but I wanted to go back into the origin times. Like, how long have we known each other?
The date that start with dating ourselves. Yeah, like 8 years, 6 years.
Question. Were you in Barcelona?
No. So Barcelona was the first one that I wasn't in. My wife was there. Back then she was my girlfriend. So Kay was there. And then the next year she's like, you have to come. Like, this is you.
So did we meet in Estonia?
Yes. Yeah, we met in Estonia.
So for those who I need to give a bit more premise, so me and Amrit actually met at Mindvalley events, and Estonia 2018 is when we met. We probably recorded the year after in Croatia, but we got to meet there. We've been, you know, students of personal growth, and I kind of want to go back. When did you first get into this space of personal growth? I feel like most people get into this space, originally had a career, realized something was wrong, and then you kind of tap into your purpose here. So what's the journey here?
Yeah, big time. So I had two big dark nights of the soul that led me here. In the fast forward version, Cliff Notes version, I struggled with 6 years of depression. That brought me to meditation and mindfulness. It wasn't like a smooth journey there, but I got there. And that increased a great level of self-awareness. So that was more of like an intro, like looking inwards journey, which actually really helped. And then even with all that looking inwards journey, what that unlocked, I then proceeded to get, you know, a reasonably incredible career, actually, I would say. Yeah. Structural engineer and, you know, building high-rise towers here in Melbourne City. But then for 7 years, I literally felt like I was plugged into the matrix, being energy harvested. Like, I know that's a really dark, quick concept to throw in there. But it was, yeah, career misalignment was the second big, you know, dark night of the soul. And so popping out on the other side of that, I wasn't really sure what I was doing, but I was like inspired by individuals such as yourself doing incredible work. You know, back in the day, you were at Mindvalley. Now you've got your own Selling with Love. You know, there was so many incredible things that individuals like yourself were doing. I was inspired by these people. And, you know, I thought I was somewhat intelligent, like not the sharpest tool in the toolkit, but not the bluntest either. You know, so I was like, come on, I've got to find a way to figure this out. And so being the engineer, I basically thought, what I'd give it a crack at was a podcast emerged, and I was like, all right, I'll start with a podcast. And the idea was, I actually didn't initially want to do a podcast, and we can probably talk a little bit around that, but yeah, I thought, you know what, if I'm going to do this podcast, where we're going to end up is I'm going to do what China does to Germany's machines, right? So there's like the Germans out there like yourself, right? Really well-oiled machines, figured it out, you know, kind of this is what they got going on. And, you know, I'm just going to take it apart bit by bit in each episode once a week and then just sort of learn something about spirituality, entrepreneurship along the journey, and then like repackage that all together. And maybe I'll have like a printer that can print something, even if it's a little bit craptastic, you know, Timu, shout out. But
given props where props is deserved.
But nonetheless, it does what it says on the. So that was the journey 8 years ago. And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. It was initially depression that led me to a great deal of self-awareness. So it'd be hard to sort of ignore that that was probably where personal growth and development started, because that's where I started to realize I had like growth mindset was potentially a thing, even that I wasn't set in stone. And then actually living that into my life was like the journey of the Inspired Evolution where the podcast started. Yeah, and that's been 8 years now.
I want to throw a lifeline here for anybody who might be in a similar situation, maybe feeling depressed right now. And I want to go through back in time. I know you went fast through this journey, but do you remember any book, course, person when you were in the dark times that was like, that was what got you out of it? Like that's where you first went and had a sip of the water that was like, wow, this is refreshing.
Yeah, for me, it was actually having done my mental health first aid training as part of being a life coach. The key thing is it was actually get yourself to a GP. Most developing countries, if you get yourself to a GP, they actually have mental health care plans that they can put in place to you, and you've got plenty of great resources. Like you actually, in Australia here, you get 5 free counselling sessions. I think in the US it's 3 funded by the state. So you basically get free complimentary counselling, which is really helpful, right? And so for me, my GP prescribed meditation and mindfulness. Like they actually prescribed a breathing exercise. They didn't call it meditation. They didn't call it mindfulness. She was a Thai lady, but she gave me this breathing exercise. And then I went to the psychiatrist that I was referred to, and then, you know, she gave me, you know, pills and all these other tools and techniques. And ironically, it was actually, the psychiatrist definitely helped, but I remember taking my first pill and kind of going on this epic high, and I was like, oh my God, life could feel this good. But then 4.5 hours later, coming back down just to baseline reality back to where I was and realizing, oh, I'm on a roller coaster here. And I didn't know much, but I was like, I don't want to live like that. So massive asterisk there. I think some people do have SSRI, like imbalances and stuff like that, and serotonin imbalances. So the SSRIs are useful for them on their journey. But stats are getting pretty harrowing. They reckon by the end of 2025, 1 in 2 people are going to be anxious or depressed. So I just feel like it can't be that 50% of the population needs to be medicated, right? And this is where the purpose conversation for me, the crisis of meaning we're going through, kind of lands. But that to sort of say the prescription was this breathing exercise that my GP gave me. And I remember I didn't think much of it. When she gave it to me, I was like, breathing. Like I was an adolescent young male, so pardon for how this is going to sound. But she was like, oh yeah, here's a breathing, 5-step breathing exercise. Breathe in, 1, breathe out. 2, breathe in. 3, breathe out. 4, breathe in. 5, breathe out. 4, and she just guided me up and down. And I was like, woman, are you serious? Like, I'm alive. Like, I breathe, you know, like I'm breathing, I'm alive, you know? But then I had this moment, part of my, you know, world coming crashing down was university was very anxiety provoking for me the first time around. The second time around, obviously, was a very different story. But first time around, got in there, and as I was packing up my locker to leave, the anxiety was closing in, like, and it was really stressful. And by some grace of God, I had the breathing exercise. She wrote it on a post-it note on a clear cover in the back of my phone, and I just pulled it out. And I didn't realize I was going to be doing the breathing exercise. I was just using my phone as a crutch to call someone, lifeline help. But I started going through the breathing exercise, and I shit you not, Jace, like as I was starting to breathe, the walls were breathing out and apart. So you asked me about the book or the moment. It was that moment where I first tried it in the crux of the moment. And I was like, oh my God, like I feel space inside. I didn't realize I was constricted even, but I literally feel space inside now. What is this? And there unraveled this whole journey of like breathing. Wow, okay. And then it got to like, oh, this is mindfulness. I started reading The Happiness Trap, stuff like that. And I was like, ah, okay, cool. And then from there, ultimately, The Power of Now, I went and got certified by Eckhart Tolle. But yeah, The Power of Now has been seminal. So that's, yeah, breathing, The Happiness Trap, The Power of Now. That's kind of the quick journey. Yeah.
I love that. And my God, I realize we have something I don't know if there's something to celebrate, but something in common. But like, I had a depression caused by stress, and it was when I started my first business, and like, I'd realized everything I'd learned was like messed up. There was these scam artists teaching like US real estate acquisition stuff. And it was a big story. And my cliff note of that is that, okay, everything I was taught was wrong. I was freaking out. And it's my dad who basically said like, okay, I want to give you these medicines that were like, I think it was like a Xanax. And he was like, just take this because you're freaking out. You're not eating. You're not well in the head right now. And it was like kind of a confrontational moment. I was like, I don't want to take pills. I don't want to. And he's like, fine, then go see the GP. And you're right. Like the GP, I sat with them. They're like, okay, they got me some sessions with, you know, a psychologist, and I got to talk, and I did like six sessions. It helped out. I did get on the Prozac for a while, and it helped like regulate. And then I was like, wait, I don't want to spend the rest of my life like that. Like everyone in my family's taking it. So then I just started like weaving it out. And then I was like, okay, I have to make sure not to get me in situations that causes this much anxiety. And I have to see what tools are going to be available for me, because I had no mindfulness. Like I had none of that stuff. And what's very crazy is just recently I was going through an episode with having to manage a crisis at work that brought me into the exact same feeling, a familiar feeling of right back when I was in my early 20s. That was this depression caused by stress. And what was fascinating is I have all these tools now. And it was like, I was like, okay, first off, speak with my partner. And I was like, hey, darling, like I could communicate it. And I was like, this is what I'm feeling. This is really weird, but I'm going to definitely step up on the mindfulness. Let's get some like more meditation. I need to take breaks. I need to self-care. And like my habits are completely different from back then. Like I don't smoke, I don't drink, all that stuff. And I was able to like, okay, but I know I need to change the circumstance. I need to bring these good habits. And that's why like, holy crap, having those tools now and seeing that life still throws you some wild cards, but to have the tools to navigate it is day and night.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? There's a quote that sort of bugs me, and I try not to focus on it too much, and you'll understand why when I share it with you, but it goes along the lines of, I don't know if we ever shed our demons or if we just learn to live above them. Yeah, so I think we do have certain propensities as individuals, and obviously, you know, then this gets into a bigger conversation around karmically who we are, the constellations of, you know, who we decided to be birthed into, like soul awareness, and that conversation is infinite. Love having it on my podcast because it just keeps going. But yeah, the interesting thing in there is, yeah, like you just alluded to, we do build chops, you know, we build tools, you know, and it's great in many ways when this happens. It's not great when it happens, but it's great when you have that moment, right? When you can look back and go, ah, I can see my maturity staring back at me because of, you know, all the stuff that I've built as internal architecture, like inner work, to be able to surf the big wave better, you know, every time when it comes through, because it doesn't really stop the waves from coming. Life is still going to life. You know, you just get better at surfing the wave.
Strong facts. Well, Amrit, it sounds like you've evolved beyond your Timu.
Greatest compliment ever.
Yes.
Timu plus one.
As we curve into our opener, which was very personal, and get into some of the business topics, which by the way, it's always personal at first, but that's another topic. You talked about how you started dissecting, analyzing, consuming, but then repackaging something for yourself. And there's a very mature process here around like, you know, imitation is a bit of a compliment. There's a lot of lessons you can shortcut your way to some success. And I'd be curious to know, what are some of the key things you took when you were at the beginning stages? Like there were things you could, you're like, oh, I could do a podcast. I've seen others do this. Maybe I can make a version of that. What were some of the initial things you started noticing and saying, I can take a piece of that were really relevant to building up what you have now?
Yeah. So one of the big things internally that came through, and this is a bit more of a soft science than a hard skills thing, was watching people even through the interview, but I couldn't help but reflect upon the fact that people's biggest challenges, if they learned how to master that, became their biggest gift. It's the hero's journey, right? And I think everybody's familiar with that. But I just saw it again and again and again and again. And it's a really powerful mental model to have, right? Because, you know, I'm sure like for all of us, we go through challenges, but it's just like, just got to get through this. But if you can just float up for just a second, kind of go, yeah, I'm getting through this. But if I just take a little bit of stock in terms of what's getting me through this, I could potentially support others through this shift and transformation as well, right? So it's almost turning that pain into potential. That was the soft science of like, I know I'm going through like this massive challenge right now, but the second time around with the Inspired Evolution, I was able to harness it a little bit better because I remembered, Like, I had to go through depression to become a meditator and a meditation teacher, right? Like, had I not gone through that, you know, and then so the second time around, I was a bit more aware that, like, I know I'm going through a really challenging time. And a dear friend of ours, Vishen, always talks about is like, you know I'm going through challenges because, you know, the universe has put these in my way, but I know I'm going to be better on the other side of it. So that same sort of conversation echoing around here. So that was the soft side of it, because it was like, I know I'm going through something and something's actually going to unlock, like, where to from here, right? So that's quite empowering for me. I feel compelled to share this actually a little bit, but I'm conscious of how much time we have today. But actually, at the time of the podcast, I didn't really want to set up a podcast. The podcast actually started with, I was hosting every fortnight people coming over to my house for a gathering. I'd given up alcohol. I went on a journey through South America. Many transformative experiences occurred. And one of the things that sort of popped out of the other side was like this alcohol-free Amaret. And when I came back home, Friday night drinks was one of my favorite things after work with mates. And so now I was like, I'm still social. I'm still me, but I don't drink. And I had this moment where, and this is when Kay went and she was on her sabbatical. And this is when she went to Mind Valley University amongst that sabbatical. But at the beginning of that sabbatical, I had this moment. I was watching a Tony Robbins video and I turned to her. She's normally on the couch and I'm on the dining room table. And I was like, yo, I just had a break. Hello? Oh, she wasn't there. And so I had this moment where I was like, surely other people feel the same. And I was like, I'm just going to open my house up every fortnight to people. I'm going to call it what? I don't know. I had an epiphany, mandala. Okay, mandala moments. I spiraled in on myself. I'm going to call it mandala moments. The concept was chai chats and community. Now there's other chapters basically around Australia where people run their own mandala moments, but it was mandala moments, chai chats and community, people coming over every fortnight and us just shooting the shit on philosophy, spirituality, very organic. It's just something I wanted out of my own desire and need. And so I was doing that every fortnight. It was probably about 6 to 8 months in where people were like, these conversations that we're having here are incredible. Would you record them, Touchwood? Like, I was just space holding, but everybody was talking. And it was like, I only invited people that I was the average of the five people. I invited people that I was inspired by, right? Like my local yoga teacher and entrepreneur and author, not my usual sort of friends. Nothing wrong with them, but also at the same time, like they weren't, you know, who I was inspired to become. So the idea was plug a mic into the circle. And I was like, look, we only really go to the depths in the conversations that we're having because they're not recorded. It's a safe container in many ways, right? So, you know, the mic puts in an energetic leak. And so I was like, that's not my vibe. I'm not doing that. But they're like, look, there are so many people that wouldn't come here for this gathering that could benefit from these conversations, according to my friends. And then I tuned into a few podcasts like Tim Ferriss at this time, like 8 years ago. Yeah, now podcasting has matured a lot as a platform, but even 8 years ago, you know, it was already coming to a certain head, but Tim Ferriss was absolutely crushing it. But there is this essence of Tim Ferriss. He is the human guinea pig, but he's also an expert, right? Like this is very much, I'm a podcaster, I'm an expert, listen to me, you know, sort of vibe. And for me, it was never, I'm an expert. My vibe's like, I'm a perpetual student. Yeah, like I'm just always learning, always growing. So for me, it was like, I don't really feel like I'm the expert on much. So I don't really feel called to do this podcasting thing. But long story short, my friends kept insisting. And then a mentor appeared who was like, hey, I want to beta test a program of launching a podcast. And my friends were like, do a podcast. And I realized the universe is sending signs. I'm just kind of in the way. And so I was like, you know what? I literally woke up 4 a.m. and just gave my credit card details to the mentor. And just I probably had to be that time in the morning. So my brain was kind of checked out. I was in that delta wave state, just allowed it to happen. Yeah, you know, 8 weeks from there, I had a podcast called The Inspired Evolution. At the time, though, I was going through the dark night of the soul. I could have just as easily, I was actually looking to join Mind Valley to work for them. I wasn't really clear on working in Malaysia. I wasn't really interested in that. But you know how you had to film the video documentaries to sort of, not documentaries, but like a video test cover letter thing? I was like, mine's was going to be, I jumped out of a plane, like take a film crew up with me, jump out of a plane and then say, hey, I'm really scared of heights, but I'm also really scared of like not living into my potential, and then jump out of the plane, land on the ground, go across and then like back to the fence line and just be like, hey, there's no jobs at Mind Valley at the moment that line up to what I want to do, but this is me embracing my fear and I know that there's a space for me there, you know. And fast forward a little bit, ended up becoming Mind Valley, you know, coach, trainer and all this sort of stuff. So the universe has its way, but it could have gone either way. It was either that or the podcast, but the podcast actually just caught my attention. So I was working on the podcast at the time. And so that was the birthplace of the podcast. I share that because sometimes we think it's super premeditated the way we're going, but also like life just presents its way with you as well. And if you're just tuning in and cluing in a little bit, you know, like I was just like, okay, I really want to film that cover letter. Like I still to the day had the skydive booked, never cashed in on it, never went to it because I didn't film the cover letter, lost the investment in the skydive, right? But yeah, like I've got the podcast and so that sort of happened. And that's been the journey for the last little while. One of the things that really got me through with podcasting is when I learnt to podcast early days, I was listening to people that had done it for a very long time, hadn't necessarily had the capability to attract them to the show, but like Model Health Show, Tom Bilyeu, there was a few people that were running really successful podcasts. And I just heard it like across enough times from the mentors that were in the space that when asked by people, hey, how come you succeeded at podcasting? The answer was universal. They're like, hey, I just didn't quit. And so there's this really interesting stat, right, where if you make it past 3 episodes, right, you're already in the top 10% of podcasts. And if you make it past 21 episodes, you're in the top 3% of podcasts. And it's like, what is going on? Like, and that just goes to show how many people start a podcast and then give up on it, start a podcast and give up on it. It's just like, you know, the iceberg, there's a massive under the water sort of version that you see that people just start podcasts, think it's a great idea, but don't follow through on it long term. So I just happen to hear enough times that don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. And then also I just picked a cadence. Like I just kept hearing people's like, pick a cadence that works for you, which is for me, it was like weekly seemed like a bit of a stretch, but like a healthy stretch. And yeah, outside of my relationship with my wife, like it started even before I got a dog, like 8 years of weekly podcasting. Now it's 2 a week. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. And people say, oh, discipline, good job. It's like, oh, I loved it, you know, like I just really love it. So it doesn't really take discipline when you love it, what you're doing. But yeah, that's been a really profound piece is like, don't give up. And then also, yeah, pick a cadence that makes it doable. So you are accountable and you're just kind of making it tick. Those were the big things.
Man, there's a lot to take away there. And I think the key one that I want to reemphasize is this whole idea of like, attrition is the biggest thing, that people just falling off and stopping is going to be the number one killer of any kind of goal success. I was talking to this lawyer who's in his like late 50s and he's like, yeah, I just get to charge this much just because I'm still in the game. Like most people give up and this stuff. So it's like you stick around long enough, you start being a person that charges a premium, people come back to you and you start knowing a lot of stuff. And it's just because you've been around and picking the cadence that's comfortable, man. Because when I started, it was twice a week. It was so hard. I had to make the decision, like, do I go down to 1 a week? I'm so happy I did, because at the 2 a week, I was not liking doing the podcast. It was like, I was stressed.
Felt like a job rather than a joy, yeah?
Right, right. And now it's like, oh my God, I don't even remember when we dropped to 1 a week, but I was like, no, this needs to happen. So then I can like, and plus I was like stretching the guests. I was like, okay, I'm going to bring these people on that I wasn't that excited, but I need to fill up the calendar. And I was like,
can I also just jump in there for a sec, brother? Because I think, you know, I'll just be completely transparent, because there was points in my journey where I'm like selling from stage, right? Like running seminars and then also selling from stage. And there was a point where I was desperate for the sale and it never worked, right? But my pitch was the same. My composure was the same. And I would love to get your thoughts on this, because to some degree, I believe there's like an ultraviolet spectrum and an infrared spectrum that people don't see, but they can feel it, right? And so it's like, I really need to make this sale so that I can eat for the next 2 weeks. And like, it just doesn't convert. But the times where it's like, oh, I'm flush in the bank account and whether I sell or don't sell, it's like, doesn't matter. And then it's like, oh, I just 10 people signed up for coaching right now. And it's like, what is that? So I think there's unseen forces. And I bring that to the podcast based on what you said, because I think when you're rushing and it feels like, you know, you're doing 2 a week, like right now we've grown into 2 a week over the last 18 months, we've just started doing 2 a week. But you know, when you're rushing, that joy versus job sort of feeling, I think it subliminally in the infrared and the ultraviolet, I do reckon it gets communicated to people somewhat.
100%. 100%. As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important, and you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top tier security, and human only best in class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today. Now, this is supposed to be a podcast about you, but I'm going to take a little like 30 seconds to just make a little plug, because this is exactly what I talk about, because every sale has an emotion. And it's like a sale, like the concept of selling with love is basically it's an energy exchange between conscious humans, right? And there's an emotion besides every transaction. Now, if there's guilt or shame in the sale, like we feel that, like it's like, oh, it doesn't feel good. And if there's like rational sabotage, it's like that's the two biggest killers of any sale. If you can sell from a place of love, which is what I'm advocating, it's like purpose sales, right? Like you're inspired, you want to serve, you're focused on them, not yourself. And that's what brings all the magical sales for people that are like mission driven, impact driven. It's like your energy, your enthusiasm comes across as such a beautiful energy that people are like, yes, sign me up. I want to be a part of that. And the only corruptible part in this is when you sell from fear or pride, which is, I'm talking about like, what is that? Power versus force, David Hawkins. Like, that's basically what I refer to. And I'm like, listen, when you're between the fear and the pride side, if you're not good at the process of selling, that's when you're like, people find you're pushy, you're shitty, you're not getting results. But the big but is where someone can really be good at the people with the gift of the gab that you'll often hear the expression, or the people that like know the process of human psychology, they can get away by not taking responsibility for the sale. And that's when transactions can happen. Even if you're not coming from a place of joy, you can make the energy move, but it's like, it's non-renewable energy. Like you're burning the dark art.
Yeah, it's a dark art. It's a dark art, that one.
Yeah, 100%. And there's so much of it in the world. And like my whole thing as to why I'm running this podcast is I'm sharing stories of people selling from an authentic place, selling from an inspired place. And when they do that, you get the results and you make people happy too. And I mean, that's really where you are on your journey, which kind of makes me think, what's the first time you sold around your inspired evolution, like your personal brand, your coach? Do you have some like interesting early stage sales?
It blew me away because my first client popped out of the audience in the podcast, and he reached out and he goes, hey, can you coach me? And I just got this email and I was like, I'd love to be a coach, like, because I'm inspired evolution. Yeah. Like I'm inspired by coaches, speakers, authors, entrepreneurs. Like, and so that was a data point of reference in my mind. Like coaches are incredible. And I was like, I mean, I'd love to, but on what? Like, I just, you know, again, perpetual student, yeah. And like expert on nothing vibes. And he wrote back just going, just the conversations you're having on the podcast, could you possibly have them with me? And I think I'd get a lot out of it. And I was like, I mean, sure, absolutely, you know? And so I actually talk about this in the book that I'm putting together called Metaflow. And it talks about curiosity, talks about passion, talks about purpose and how they're all linked, but also not to rush towards purpose. Once you've got a curiosity point, take the time to cultivate a passion. So the podcast has been this cup of passion that I've had the opportunity to fill based on the curiosity points and the conversations I've been having. And I share this with everyone. It's like, take a beat. I know it's hard in today's day and age to have patience, but have some patience and fill up your cup of passion. Cultivate your curiosities, fill up your cup of passion. Because from the overflowest cup, people will naturally be like, hey, can you serve me some of that passion that you've got, like what you're passionate about? And it's like, you're already overflowing with it. You have extra, you can just share it. It's not costing you anything because, and this is where it gets super spiritual for me, but it's like your curiosities are sacred to you if they're not the hijacked sort of conditioned culturescape curiosities, right? If they're your innate curiosities, your soul came here to learn these lessons, you're filling up your cup of passion through that, yeah? So now if you're sharing from that place and you end up selling from that place, it's naturally what you wanted to share anyway. And like the other person's picking up, so I was like, yeah, will you coach me? And I was like, sure, let's have these chats. It was incredible for him and for me. Like he activated me into a coach. But also he was working in construction here in Melbourne. He moved beachside, like, you know, a couple of hours out of Melbourne, bought a cafe, you know, and he's just, I watch his TikTok and his Instagram content now, and he's just like, he's running a cafe, but it's all laughs and all dry, and he's just happy. Like, he's just having the best time ever being a clown, being his true self. And watching that transformation has just meant so much to me. Yeah. And so that was the first sale, and I'll never forget it, because it was just, I was enjoying so much mandala moments. Again, you could almost argue mandala moments, like people were like, hey, do a podcast. So they pushed me into that space once again, you know, overflowing passion, please serve more. And then it was like the podcast, and it's like passion. It's like, hey, please serve more, touch wood. So that's kind of been the organic growth formula, I think, if I had to formulate it. And that's what Metaflow talks about. But yeah, that was the first sale. And that's how I got pulled out into coaching. And it works again, because again, it was my fourth, Carly, I think fourth coaching client booked me my first speaking engagement. And then I became a speaker through that as well. So it's just, it's all been very organic in that way.
Nice. I mean, by the way, I saw a random reel the other day that explained the expression touch wood. I heard you say it twice now, so I feel like I need to call it out. Do you know where that comes from?
There's different interpretations of it. Celtic background.
Is that with the fairies in the tree?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, yo, that's so good. Okay, Celtic. Well, I didn't know. I found out yesterday. And now that you said it twice, I was like, ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my idiosyncrasies. Yeah, we were talking about one of my mates who's also, yeah, living in the same part of the world as you. And he built one of his restaurants in Melbourne, and it's like, it was just decked out in wood. And my mates were like, do you know who's going to love this place? It's like, Amrit always says touch wood, so...
Nice. So, okay, the first sale came from someone coming to you, which is very interesting, because I feel like there's so many struggling coaches that are just like, they're going to everyone. They're like, I can coach you. And it's almost like they're very much pushy, coming from maybe a needy energy. But you started having people come to you. You know, you had this attraction that brought people into wanting to be coached from you. So I'd be curious, like, what do you think was inside you, aside from the fact that they saw you on the podcast, that made it so that, hey, people are coming to you as opposed to you needing to go out there?
Yeah. And that's where content marketing shines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So interestingly, people often ask me this question. It's like, does your podcast make you money? And I'm like, that's oxymoronic. And I was like, what? Like, why is that? And I was like, okay, so what is a podcast? You hear people talk about podcasting. It's like, what is a podcast? And it's like, podcast for those people that are in, you know, sales marketing. And they're like, oh, it's content marketing. And I was like, cool. So it's, we can agree on the word marketing, right? And it's like, yep. I didn't know any of this when I started, by the way. It was all very organic. But now looking back, it's like, it's marketing. And they're like, yeah. And it's like, so does marketing cost a company money, or does it make a company money? They have a marketing budget, don't they? Yeah. So it's meant to cost you money. Yeah. Now the challenge with podcasting, and also one of the blessings, like the barrier to entry is minimal. It's just like, hey, just upload to iTunes, boom, let's go. Right. But at the same time, it's a very slow burn, because it's relationship based, right? You're building a relationship, you're building a community, you're building an audience. Yeah. And in fact, I would say the longer you can hold off on monetizing it, the richer the relationship. Yeah, because people don't feel like you're trying to, like what we've been discussing. There's no. So it took me a while to realize that actually a good business has three pillars to it. You use the word attract, right? And I double click on that, because the pillars of business from like old school mentality is like, there's marketing, there's sales, and there's, you know, goods and services. Yeah. But for me, when someone said you had a sales problem, now I know what that means. I had no idea what that meant when I was starting out. It's like, oh, you've got a marketing problem. I was like, what's marketing? Like, I'm casting a fisherman's net. Like, I don't know what that really means. So I had to re-verbiage these to like attract, convert, and deliver. Attract, convert, and deliver. And that just made so much sense to me. Like, I need to deliver something to someone. I need to attract people to what I'm up to. And I need to be able to convert them into what I'm delivering. And the better I deliver, the more I convert. The better I attract, and word of mouth. And it's like, okay, now this holy trinity kind of brings me to scale. Yeah. So that was like at the nexus of the three. I'm picturing like a Venn diagram here. Yeah. So therein lies this really interesting thing, because you can attract not necessarily through content marketing, but you can attract through Facebook ads. You can attract through going to seminars and pitching what you've got and talking to people. Content marketing is a really, really slow burn. It's not made for everybody, I would say, which is why the podcast stats we gave out at the beginning are the way that they are, right? People expect to do 10 podcasts and be like, where's my coaching client? And it's like, bro, yeah, like I was like, what, 26 episodes in? Yeah. before like someone came knocking and said, hey, will you? And it was like, that's half a year of podcasting, just having conscious conversations, yeah, with people and just sharing and not really expecting anything and just sort of seeing where it goes. Yeah, just because I knew I was growing in the podcast. It still is just my school in many ways. Now other people are inspired to grow in the same vibe and trajectory. But that to sort of say, like, I feel like going into podcasting to sort of leverage it as a strategy to support your business, you've got to have a sizable budget to sort of be like, okay, yeah, I'm willing to edit to a certain level of production to produce something that like hooks people immediately. People go, whoa, like Diary of a CEO did that. Hella well, Stephen Bartlett. Yeah. Like when his team set up his podcast, he was like, how much does it take to build a podcast? And they came back and he said, look, a reasonable one is $40,000. And he said, what if I 10X that? What could you do? Go back to the drawing board, come back. So 400 grand to set up a studio in London, a studio in California, I think, and in the US, or is it Austin? Anyway, somewhere in the States, and mirror the two into having the exact same set, fly people into London, fly people here, blah, 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 and get the podcast started, right? So his unfair advantage was the investment in finances. Touch wood, and an individual like myself didn't have $400,000 to sink into a podcast, yeah, or even $40,000 for that matter. But I had patience and time and energy that I was willing to put in. And content marketing is a slow drip. So you've got to go in with the mindset, I'm going to be doing this for the long haul. Yeah. And that's how you build a platform that then attracts people in rather than you having to go out. Now, the podcast has gone to this really amazing place where right now, when we look at business and like business, right, as lead flow, I always get a little bit self-conscious around this because it's like, oh, he started a podcast for lead flow. But like, I've just been like organically growing and figuring things out. But the podcast right now at the time of this conversation is almost at 120,000 subscribers on YouTube. Yeah. At the beginning of 2024, we were at 10,000 subscribers. I just want that to sort of sink in. It's like 110,000 subscribers. Yeah. I've been doing this for 8 years. Yeah. So the last 11 months has been 110,000 subscribers. At the beginning of 2024, I was at 10,000 subscribers. At the beginning of 2023, I was at 3,000 subscribers. So last year, there was 7,000 subscriber growth. Yeah. And then you look at the beginning of 2023, all the way back to 2017, since I've known you. Yeah. That is how long it took to get to 3,000 subscribers. And that's what I mean about slow burn. Like now it's easy to sort of turn around and be like, oh yeah, Amrit podcast, wicked, well done. And like now people are being attracted into it. But it's been 8 years of every single week releasing a podcast, yeah? Now, if you're in it for the, hey, like, where's my finance business incentive in this? It's going to be hard to stick with it for that long, right? But it's all the other stuff, which was like, I was connecting to individuals such as yourself on the other side of the planet, traveling, meeting people, having conversations, learning things. And I was like, whether this makes money or doesn't, like, this is interesting. Like I'm talking to really incredible people and this is a podcasting thing. I'll get off the soapbox, but just to say, after just this. But legitimately the podcasting is this. Yeah. It's like when I got Jason on, we talked about selling. I will get a free 1 hour coaching session on how to sell consciously. The only catch is I have to record it and share it with the world, which will then invite like-minded people to connect back in with me anyway. And I'm like, what's the downside? And it's like, well, it costs you a bit in production and energy and money and like having a team. And I was like, dude, like I need to figure out how to build a bigger, better team. We got to do more of this, right? Like there is no downside.
You take that deal? I take that deal.
You know what I mean? Like it just, and that's the stuff. If you're into it for that, then you'll stick it through, touch wood, I believe for sure.
And, you know, I just want to inject that when I flip to the 1 a week, I got back to reminding myself of that magic, because when you don't have that cadence locked into something that fits your lifestyle and what you want, then you start coming from a different energy. And again, that is felt. And I'm so happy you shared those stats, because I've had a few people on YouTube come in. I had this one lady, she's got millions of subscribers, and she talks about spreadsheet Excel formulas. She just loves doing formulas on Excel. She's an amazing guest that I had a couple of years back. And for the first year, she ended up with 24 subscribers. On the second year, she got to 120 subscribers. And she was like, I love these spreadsheets. So she kept doing. And then like in 1 year, pop, just started going nuts. I've been doing I started podcasts without YouTube initially. And I don't know if you had a similar thing, because it was audio only first. And then I had to go to YouTube, and man, you need that. It was sometimes depressing. Like those, that first year I'm posting out these videos and it's like 70 views. And I'm like, oh, but you have to have more than the motivation on the financial, because it took time to get a some kind of momentum, and then it starts compounding. But you can't be like waiting for that to happen, because it'll happen, like you said, it happened to you in 8 years, and who knows where it's going to go now. But everything that kept you sustained before that is a different energy than the excitement you have about how it's picking up traction now. And so everything purpose wise I think is so critical.
One of the things in there is, two things I'll quickly inject into there is, Sahil Bloom is a beautiful LinkedIn influencer that I follow, and he talks about, and I inadvertently did this, but turning cost centers into revenue centers in your business. And what that basically means is, like, my podcast production was costing me money and I had a team that was doing that. And so then I would flick it to sort of say, hey, there's a team here, we can edit your podcast for you as well. And we can, and so we had, like, at a point we had like five different clients, we were producing their podcast. My podcast was basically getting produced for free based on the margins of serving all these other people. But the attrition rate was high because, again, of everything we've discussed, people didn't want to stick in it for the long haul. They saw a podcast and they were like, where's the return on investment? And it's like, it'll be years. And it's like, oh, there's probably other things I could put my money into. And it's like, yeah, that's fine. So we stopped the agency and I just focused on my own podcast and production. You know, there's other places you can make money from to bring that in. But I just wanted to bring that in because when we talk about momentum, yeah, there's a whole piece in there. But then also mental health wise, because I think it's easy to, interestingly enough, now is the moment in time. And I know this is going to sound kind of like bullshit, Amrit, but the truth is, now is the time where I'm least attached to the metrics. Like, I use them as data and analysis to sort of see how episodes are going, which guests I should get on. And I'm using the metrics to better understand my audience so I can better serve them, ultimately, is where I'm at right now. Yeah. But there was a point in time, like, you know, 6 years ago, I was like, oh, it'd be amazing to have a show with, you know, 100,000 subscribers. If you told me that, like, I was like, oh my God, that's where we want to get to. But what I've noticed now, and I've been fortunate to have some really incredible mentors, the more my mindset is pinned to outcomes, the more treacherous my mental health is going to be. And the more my mind is attached to the process, the safer I'm going to be the whole way through. Yeah, because the process is the process of, let's have really good chats. Let's just enjoy them. Let's share them with the world. Who am I becoming in the process? I learned something here. I shared something there. Oh, I refined that message here. I refined that there. This is cool. This is a bit of extra funds. Let's buy a nicer mic. You know, like, cool things are happening. Boom. That's the process. That's the process. It's fun. But it's like, oh, you know, this month we subbed at this many rates per month, or next month we're subbing at this many rates per month. It's like, oh, the outcomes are shifting. And it's like, oh, this episode was meant to be, like, you know, an absolute stomper, and it's not. And it's like, oh, as soon as you start to focus too much on the outcomes, you need to have a healthy relationship with it. But, like, if you focus and get too obsessed with the outcomes, your mental health starts to spiral significantly. Yeah. Because you're attaching your self-worth to the outcomes of what your venture is, which is very easy to do when you're an entrepreneur, solopreneur in that space. Yeah. So learning that, that's been an absolute gift that someone has shared to me. I exercise that every day. Outcomes still sort of go, oh yeah, that's not going the way that it should. It's like, oh, but it's not about what you see. It's like, what was the process like getting there? It's like, ah, oh, cool. You know, a coaching client of mine recently bought his first house and went and spoke to his finance advisor. Turns out he's not going to be able to rent it for as much as he thought he was. The return on investment isn't going to be huge. He's 28, bought his first house in South Africa. And in my coaching, I'm like, bro, like, I hate to sound like this. Like, I'm focused, but I don't really give a shit about your return on investment. And he's like, what? Why would you say that? And I was like, bro, you just bought a house. And you actually bought a house that you would love to live in. And I think secretly you want to live in there. Who gives a shit about the return on investment? One. But second of all, you just bought a house. Like, by the time you're 36, 38, you've had a few assets like this. And this will always be the first one. And it, whether it returned well, it's almost better that it didn't return as well. So now you're conscious that, about what returns mean and what it is, right? It's all just lessons and learning. And you're on your journey, bro. Like, you know, just take a beat. Process, not outcome. Yeah, for a moment. Like, outcomes are important, but the process is everything.
Mm. And what a process we are on today. Amrit, I love these conversations. This is the juice. This is the fun. For me, like the word, I love that you've already mentioned it already, and it's part of your upcoming book, which I didn't even know was coming. So that's a nice little reveal on this conversation, the nurturing of the curiosity. And I think that's what I love the most about being able to have conversations with, like, with you, with everyone else that I agree on the show, is like, I always get to fill up a curiosity bucket. But I really love the concept you shared on the show today, which is like, don't just straight jump to purpose with a curiosity. It has to be nurtured into a passion first. And I find that such a beautiful thing, because I've seen so many people, they're like, I love cooking. You know, I'll be a chef and I'll open a restaurant. It becomes a stress, a pain. And they're like, I hate cooking now. And I think that there's a lot of people that are maybe seeing a curiosity emerge, and there's some time, there's some maturing that needs to happen for that to evolve into something great. So that would probably be the closing point I want to bring this conversation, is like, for someone who sees they have a few curiosities at play, they're not too sure what they want to sell, where they want to go. Maybe they want to start a podcast. Maybe they want to start writing, but there's something they're seeing, a sizzle, a curiosity. What are some of the best things that you have noticed helps you nurture that curiosity and cultivate that passion before you even jump into purpose here?
Yeah, brilliant. So great question, by the way. I felt quite blessed because the podcast gave me an opportunity to discuss a lot of different things with a lot of different people. So it naturally is a container where you can explore a lot of different curiosity points. But you'll notice even before that, I had the gathering in my house, and that was the intersection of, I always thought I was going to be, you know, like Friday night drinks was the coolest thing. So like, I always wanted to socialize with people, but invite people over to my own home. I thought Mandala was a cool name for something. So Mandala Moments became the name. I'm the average of the five people I spend my time with. There's people that I've always wanted to get to know a little bit better in my local community that I never really had the opportunity or the platform to do so. I love personal development videos and the transformation that they bring. So there's already six curiosity points there. Yeah, and this is, Metaflow talks about this. If you can run a ring around three or more, ideally it's five or more, but at least three or more different curiosity points, you've got a passion. That's all it is. That's the formula. Three, curiosity X three, curiosity X five is a passion. Now, you know, my background is an engineer, so pardon me, this is not going to sound super sexy, but the key thing is I'm a big fan of lists. I'm a big fan of scheduling stuff. So now that you've got curiosity around a few things, you need a calendar. You need to schedule it in. Like, it's literally just that simple. Every fortnight, people were coming over to my house. It was calendared in. It was set and forget. It was like, boom. After that, I'd already made the public commitment. It's like, people are coming over to my house. We're just going to chat about this. Every week, people know an episode is coming out on a Sunday. It's going out. I've got to like get an episode in and, you know, share what happens in the world. So it's literally just scheduling in time. So when I coach people, it's like, okay, you love this, you love that, you love this. Great. What would all three of those being enacted out look like? And it's like, well, at the moment, I'm just going to need to read more books on this. Or at the moment, I'm going to need to go to the local X, Y, and Z to spend more time here. And it's like, well, how often do you do that? It's like, I've always wanted to do that. I've never done that. And it's like, well, twice a month, you're going to go do that. And it's like, yeah, but I don't have the time. And it's like, these are your dreams. These are your passions. This is your cup. This is your vitality. This is your enthusiasm. You got to make time, bro. And it's like, yeah, cool. All right, let's go do that. So we carve out the time, we schedule it in. And then now you're starting to cultivate. And sometimes you go and it's like, and this is one of the things as a coach, right? People are always looking for clarity to take action. And this is an old adage, but clarity does not precede action. It follows action. Yeah. So schedule it in, go for 3 months. And if it's terrible, it was just curiosity. It wasn't meant to be a passion. Now you're clearer. Try the next thing. Yeah. Or you might go and it's like, oh my God, this was so much better than I even thought. But actually this thing evolves into that thing. And it's like, cool. Now you're even more juiced, you know? And so boom, 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 and allow it to evolve. Right. So that clarity comes after you take those initial steps. Fortunately, it's not a super sexy response, but yeah, schedule it in. Yeah. And if you're not sure about what your curiosities are, make a list, get clear on your curiosities, schedule in some time to actually play and flex in that space where many of them intersect, ideally 5+, at least 3+.
Amrit, absolute pleasure having you on the show. Tangible, fun, actionable, all of that good stuff. But I don't let you go before I ask you the one question I ask everybody on the show, which I'll ask you as well in closing, which is, you're on the Selling with Love podcast. What does selling with love mean to you?
In a word, service. Just service. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what more to say about that. It's like when you're trying to sell, you can feel the fear because you're like, where are they going to think? And how am I going to, architect this? Think about the words I put in it. Ooh. And it's just, oh, I remember being there. It's, you know, it's hard to sell from that place. But when you're not, it's just like, hey, I think this could really help. It really helped me. If you're open to it and willing to, I'd love to allow you to pay me, and I'd love, you know, for you to allow me to be able to support you. You know, that could be super fun. And just coming from that place of service, yeah, it changes everything. For me, that is selling with love.
Yo!
Yo!
By the way, this is the signature sound that you will hear Amrit when he starts his podcast. I'm going to make sure that everybody who's tuning in here, go and check out the Inspired Evolution podcast, whether that's on YouTube or on your favorite podcast app. Has a fantastic show, fantastic guest, and he has been a fantastic guest on our show. We're also going to have a link to his website, amrit.coach. You can find him on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all that good stuff. Amrit, you've been a fantastic guest. Again, big things I've taken away from here. This whole idea of curiosities to passion to purpose, I think there's a flow here. And understand that everything takes time, especially if you play the content game. It's not going to happen overnight. It requires an investment, time, money, energy. And if you are in it for the right reasons, which is not so attached to the metrics, but you're enjoying the process, not the outcome, you will be able to sustain the time that it actually takes, which is going to be longer than you want, but the rewards at the end are going to be bigger than you thought. Amrit, absolute pleasure having this conversation, catching up, stay in touch, all the best in your success. Now that I've had a chance to be your cheerleader in the background, I want to be a cheerleader in the foreground. All the best, and absolutely love you, brother.
Thank you so much for your love and blessings, bro. This was an absolute treat. Love, every time I get to connect with you is just so special. Thank you so much for your blessing, bro, and having me on.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.